Panthers. Thank our Pandaren Collegiate for hosting these this weekend as well. Just a quick announcement before I start. The Florida Collegiate will also be hosting a gathering Memorial Day weekend. We're putting together some things to send out for everybody, so if you want to just make a mental note of that, we haven't, the days are set. We just, Brother Bob will send out information to everybody. So this morning's talk, as our brother referred to, is Return Ye Backsliding Children, from the use of it in Jeremiah chapter 3. Brother Isaac yesterday did a wonderful job of setting the background for this book of Jeremiah. But as a reminder, Jeremiah prophesies to the tribes of Judah approximately 13 years into the reign of Josiah. He labors continuously for 40 years, living, feeling, and suffering the message that he delivered. Jeremiah navigated his course through the concurrent reigns of Josiah, Jehoahaz, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. Leading up to the Babylonian captivity, Jeremiah and his contemporaries, through the Spirit, produced relatively the same message. Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Joel, Daniel, and Ezekiel all proclaimed the call of repentance to the faithless generations. Their prophecies were not just condemnation and curses, but also of a certain bright future for the obedient. That bright future speaks of a day when Jerusalem will be occupied by David's righteous son, when all nations will gather to it, when the two kingdoms of Israel and Judah will be reunited, and when the land will be restored and houses and cities rebuilt amidst thanksgiving and joyfulness. So under this topic of Return Ye Backsliding Children, we were given several topics that needed to be included in the talk, seven of which are idolatry, unfaithful wives, backsliding children, a call to repentance, a basket of figs, the rod of an almond tree, and then a seething pot. To return ye backsliding children is quite a powerful and small statement. To better understand the true meaning of this statement, we must investigate the background, time period, history, and the facts of the case, which ultimately prompted the Spirit through Jeremiah to exhort his nation of Judah to repent and return. Repent and return. By the time we're finished, Yahweh willing, we'll have enough information to think about and to process. It will allow us to examine ourselves to see how Jeremiah's message 2,600 years ago can apply to us today. Yahweh does not change. He is no respecter of persons. His ways, his expectations, and his commandments remain firm and unchanging. They are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yahweh expects and requires first place in all of our lives. The Lord Jesus commands to love Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. For this is the first commandment. The first commandment. If we are zealous and diligent in striving to obey this one command, all things will fall into place which are in accordance with Yahweh's will. Repent and return has always been Yahweh's message and will always be. It's imperative then that we search the pages of our Bibles to better understand the Spirit's message provided to us by these prophets. An epignosis, a full and complete knowledge of this matter, will enlighten us to a different level. If we just strive to know and understand the historical aspects of these prophets, then we are just being fed with milk. We must dig deep and search the scriptures, not just quickly reading our lesson. We must slow down, think about what we're reading, discuss it with our family, with your ecclesia. A fuller and more complete knowledge of the scriptures will help one to understand that the Bible is not just a storybook of literal events, but one filled with types, shadows, allegories, antitypes, symbols. This is where our diet changes, milk to meat, literal and historical to typical and symbolic. This style of the Spirit's writing is found all through the prophets. So why should we take an entire weekend and spend talking about something that happened over 2,000 years ago? We're told in Romans 15, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be idolaters, as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. So the background starts in Josiah. The ripe age of 8 years old, Josiah became the youngest king of Judah. For the next 8 years, he was brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord under the tutelage of his mother, Jedidiah, whose name means beloved. It wasn't until 16 years old that Josiah finally took on all the duties and responsibilities as king. The nation of Judah was in a state of spiritual and moral depravity. For the previous 50 years, the kingdom of Judah was subjected to the evil reigns of Manasseh and Amon. It was 13 years into Josiah's reign that Jeremiah appeared onto the scene to begin his mission. We're told in 2 Kings 21 that Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. He did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh after the abominations of the nations. He built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of Yahweh for all the host of heaven. He made his son pass through the fire, observed times, used enchantments, dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of Yahweh to provoke him to anger. Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom Yahweh destroyed before the children of Israel. So that was Manasseh. Then came Amon. 2 Chronicles 33. Amon was 22 years old when he began to reign and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh, as did Manasseh his father. For Amon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made and served them, and humbled not himself before Yahweh. But Amon trespassed more and more. This was the state of things when Jeremiah appeared onto the scene. So consider what we just read for the past 50 years. Built up high places, reared up altars for Baal, made groves, worshipped and served all the host of heaven, built pagan altars in Yahweh's temple, used enchantments, dealt with wizards and familiar spirits, and sacrificed to carved images. Prior to these evil kings, the nation of Judah had lived through a reformation under the rule of Hezekiah. King Hezekiah reestablished the truth in the land. He reopened the doors to the temple, regathered the Levitical priesthood for sanctification, made a covenant with Yahweh, cleansed the temple and all the vessels found therein, and he gathered the rulers of the city and offered sacrifice. 2 Chronicles 29 tells us, all the congregation worshiped. The singers sang, the trumpeter sounded, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. However, this eagerness and enthusiasm did not last long. As the generations passed, the backsliding of his children began. Like priest, like people. Paganism in all its forms had again reared its head in the days of Amon after the partial reform by Manasseh near the end of his life. The streets were filled with the Kemarim, which implies black-frocked priests who ministered at the altars of Baal. On all sides, incense arose to foreign gods, and people bowed down to their images. The repulsive and sinful rites of this evil worship were freely practiced. Josiah determined to rid the land of it all. He decreed a complete abolition of all these things. And sincere or not, the congregation affirmed, whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of Yahweh our Elohim. However, the people busied themselves in externally appearing very sincere and righteous, but on the inside were whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. They said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Jeremiah 44 says, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. The reigns of Manasseh and Amon destroyed all that their father Hezekiah had reformed. The prophet Ezekiel accurately describes the situation in Ezekiel 23. The word of Yahweh came again unto me, saying, Son of man, there were two women, the daughters of one mother. The names of them were Ahola the elder and Aholaba her sister. And they were mine, and they bare sons and daughters. Thus were their names. Samaria is Ahola, and Jerusalem, Aholaba. And Ahola, Israel, the northern 10 tribes, played the harlot when she was mine. She doted on her lovers, on the Assyrians, her neighbors, which were clothed with blue, captains and rulers, all of them desirable young men, horsemen riding upon horses. Thus she committed her whoredoms with them, with all them that were chosen men of Assyria, and with all on whom she doted. With all their idols she defiled herself, neither left she her whoredoms brought from Egypt. Wherefore I have delivered her into the hand of her lovers, into the hand of the Assyrians upon whom she doted. These discovered her nakedness. They took her sons and her daughters and slew her with the sword. And she became famous among women, for they had executed judgment upon her. And when her sister Aholaba, Judah, the two southern tribes, when they saw this, she, Judah, was more corrupt and inordinate and in her inordinate love than she, and in her whoredoms more than her sister in her whoredoms. She doted upon the Assyrians, her neighbors, captains and rulers, clothed most gorgeously, horsemen riding upon horses, all of them desirable young men. Then I saw that she was defiled, that they took both one way, and that she increased her whoredoms. As soon as she saw them with her eyes, she doted upon them and sent messengers unto them into Chaldea. The Babylonians came to her into the bed of love, and they defiled her with their whoredom. And she was polluted with them. Her mind was alienated from them. So she discovered her whoredoms, discovered her nakedness. Then my mind was alienated from her, like as my mind was alienated from her sister. Yet she multiplied her whoredoms, and calling to remembrance the days of her youth, wherein she had played the harlot in the land of Egypt. Prophet goes on to say, therefore, O Aholaba, thus saith Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side, the Babylonians and all the Chaldeans, Pekod and Shoah and Koah, and all the Assyrians with them. All of them desirable young men, captains and rulers, great lords and renown, all of them riding upon horses. They shall come against thee with chariots, wagons and wheels, and with an assembly of people, which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And I will set judgments before them, and they shall judge thee according to their judgments, and I will set my jealousy against thee, and they shall deal furiously with thee. They shall take away thy nose and thine ears, and thy remnant shall fall by the sword. They shall take thy sons and thy daughters, and thy residue shall be devoured by the fire. Thus saith Adonai Yahweh, behold, I will deliver thee into the hand of them whom thou hatest, into the hand of them from whom thy mind is alienated. And they shall deal with thee hatefully, shall take away all thy labor, shall leave thee naked and bare. And the nakedness of thy whoredoms shall be discovered, both thy lewdness and thy whoredoms. I will do these things unto thee because thou hast gone a whoring after the nations, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Thou hast gone a whoring after the nations, and because thou art polluted with their idols. Yahweh said moreover unto me, Son of man, wilt thou judge Ahola and Aholibah? Yea, declare unto them their abominations, that they have committed adultery, and blood is in their hands, and with their idols have they committed adultery. Brother Grocott has a section on Aholibah and Aholibah be transformed, volume 2. He states that the two lewd women, Ahola and Aholibah, Ahola, Israel, means her own tabernacle. The 10 tribes had man-made worship. Aholibah, Judah, means my tabernacle is in her. My tabernacle is in her, the supposed seat of true divine worship. The whole chapter is the presentation of their relationships with the world under the vivid and striking figure of sexual corruption and abomination. This is how God views any mixture of his holy separated people with the dead and corrupt world that knows him not. It is the same vital lesson that James emphasizes in the same bold figure, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world is so easy, so seemingly pleasant and harmless, but let us never forget that it is not so to God. In his sight, the world lieth in wickedness, and any relationship with it and its institutions that is not necessary and in the service of God is utter abomination in his sight. Let us ever bear Ezekiel 23 in mind. If we really are God's people, are the only living, it is a very high calling, and the rest of the world are dead, all outside of the covenant relationship, no matter how close to us in the flesh. And contact with the world is defiling, unless it be contact whose motive, like Christ, is to give the leper cleansing and the dead life. Brother Grocott. Ezekiel describes the lives of the two women, dealing first with the time when both dwelt in Egypt, where they played the harlot in their youth. Various references make it clear that they were unfaithful to Yahweh while in Egypt. It's not surprising, for they were surrounded by emblems of idolatry. Egypt was essentially a land of false worship. Its gods were innumerable. Idols of gods and goddesses were everywhere to be seen. Almost everything had a religious association. As form, and that of Amen-Ra, or Amen-Ra, to the lowest form, the scarab beetle, all representing apostasy in some form. From their life in Egypt, Ezekiel proceeded to the time when they occupied the land of Canaan. There he commences with Aholah, Samaria, the beginning of the independent existence of Samaria's association. The beginning of the independent existence of Samaria was associated with Jeroboam, of whom it is frequently recorded that he made Israel to sin, setting up calves in Bethel and Dan, and selecting the lowest of the people for priests of the high places. Whosoever would, he consecrated them, and he, Jeroboam, became one of the priests of the high places.